Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made. I am grateful for the day. I am grateful for the unspeakable grace that the Lord has provided myself and my family, even as we've gone through struggles. And thankful that we can join together and ground ourselves in facts, because, man, the facts are frightening. You're about to hear what Randy Gaylord, who's a prosecutor in San Juan County, what his office is attempting to do to a retired couple who are alleged to have made a bad decision to vandalize a couple of Black Lives Matter signs left in a public right-of-way. Incidentally, I understand Randy Gaylord is a very close friend of Sideshow Bob, our part-time attorney general.
It's not an abstract notion of law. The law has a huge impact on the people of this country, and that's why upholding the Constitution matters so much.
It is impossible to have a working democracy if everybody gets to decide what they think the Constitution is just for them.
I'm not going to enforce an unconstitutional law. I'm going to...
Don't be a sheep.
Heard about this last night from my very good friend, great conservative activist Glenn Morgan of WeTheGovern.com. As you listen to my guest, I invite you to tweet or to text TODD to 800-465-8770. You can read Glenn Morgan's write-up on this, and with no further.
Joining me now is an attorney from the San Juan County area. Nick Powers joins us on the Todd Herman Show. Absolutely insane case. We'll just talk about it. Talk about your clients, what they're accused of, and this insane settlement that the prosecutors offer.
Sure, Todd. Well, my clients are in their 60s and 70s. They're a retired couple living out here in San Juan County. And they're accused of malicious mischief 3, which is crime which is a misdemeanor for defacing property. And the property that they're alleged to have defaced were a few Black Lives Matter signs that were left in the public right-of-way. They weren't on anyone's property. They were just placed out by the side of the road in the county's right-of-way. And they disagreed with their message and removed the signs or allegedly removed the signs and allegedly spray-painted them. And the really strange situation is the posture that the prosecutor has taken in this case about what would be offered in the plea agreement.
And the plea agreement, Nick Powers with us, an attorney, the plea agreement goes beyond money. It goes beyond suspended jail sentence. And first of all, it starts with the fact that this was prosecuted and that these signs were left in a public right of way that we've taken government money to prosecute, but it goes past restitution. And this is what my audience needs to know, that this prosecutor, who I think ultimately reports to Randy Gaylord up there, is offering.
Right. And what the prosecutor's office offered was that my clients would plead guilty. And in return, the prosecutor's office would allow them to do some community service. But in addition to the community service, they needed to take 3 college level classes, or one of 3 college level classes, which had to deal with racism and anti-racism. And strangely, one of the classes, I think it was the University of Colorado class, was a class to teach political activists how to defund the police. And this whole notion that you can have coerced political education, I think, is just completely anti-American and completely against the notions we have of freedom of thought and freedom of expression and not being subject to the state's request or the state's leverage when it comes to educating adults. Adults are, you know, in this country are presumed to be able to educate themselves as to what sort of political viewpoints they want to have and want to learn about.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fascinating because if your clients did this and they're alleged to have done this, it's something they've ought not done. We shouldn't vandalize. And normally in Washington state, particularly Western Washington, even Northwestern Washington, these are things that are hardly prosecuted. So that is bizarre. But it would seem to me that the prosecutor is making a claim that your clients also committed a thought crime.
That is the inescapable conclusion, I think. You know, they're charged with a property crime, but now the punishment, if you were, has sort of morphed into a thought crime or a crime for voicing one's viewpoint, and then the necessary coercion and the rectification of that thought by having them either stand trial or, if they accept the plea agreement, attend these classes, which are, you know, completely, you know, they subscribe to a viewpoint, a political viewpoint, and we think that viewpoint neutrality is one of the bedrocks of the American experience and the American way of life. And it's just an anathema that that such a request is being made of my clients, that, you know, we will prosecute you unless you go to school. And I think that that's a very dangerous proposition.
Yes, indeed. And if you were to take this from a perspective of the right, you know, we could say, hey, we've caught, I don't know, a couple thousand Antifa activists, or I would refer to the people who try to kill cops as domestic terrorists. Why don't we, in addition to jail time or prison time, why don't we also make you go attend classes at the Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute? Maybe we'll have you sit in on some lectures by Dr. Thomas Sowell. Maybe we could have Candace Owen come up and teach you her perspective as a Black American, why she does not back Black Lives Matter Incorporated. People better be careful what they hope for in Washington State and San Juan County, in Randy, from Randy Gaylord's office, because we could turn this around real quick. Hey, you know what? I mean, Nick Power, I might be able to take someone out if they steal my guns and make them go learn at an NRA class.
That's the danger, right? You know, if it's constitutional for Randy Gaylord to do this, it's constitutional for Bill Barr to do something that is absolutely similar, like you've described. And I think that our elected prosecutors really need to take a step back and think about the consequences that, you know, if we're going to apply the rules equally, as I think we should all agree, that any rule that you push to an extreme can be used against you, and you will end up in a very unfortunate situation when somebody who doesn't share your political viewpoint uses the same allowance to force criminal defendants to undertake political education. I think it's a very dangerous thing.
It's 2020, so this is the year of unprecedented. But I mean, you've been practicing law for some time. How is this? Did you ever think, I guess I'll ask it this way, Nick Powersworth is an attorney. Did you ever think, you know what, one day I'll be in court and sending a rejection letter, or writing back to a prosecutor saying, no, my clients would choose not to attend an anti-racism defund defund the police class as part of a plea settlement. Did you ever think that you would be doing this in the United States of America?
No, I mean, frankly, I'm pretty horrified. And I say that as a Democrat. I ran for prosecutor as a Democrat. You know, I have a Black Lives Matter sign on my lawn. But I am much more concerned about slippery slope that forcing adults to engage in political education at the pain of being prosecuted with the full force and effort of the government behind, you know, making you make that choice. I think that everybody should agree that there needs to be, people need to discover what they believe politically by themselves, and the state doesn't have a role in political education of adults. And I never thought that I would really have to have this conversation, because I assumed that was the way America works. Evidently, not so much now. And I'm fearful about where we're going if this is really deemed as fair play.
I couldn't agree more. And if your clients choose to go to trial versus accept this settlement, I would want to offer to help raise money for your fee. I don't know the financial position of your clients. But B, would a judge, I guess in this imaginary world we're living in now, it seems, could a judge actually say you must sit in a class and be indoctrinated? Have you ever heard of such a ruling in America?
We don't know. And none of the lawyers I've talked to about this know. And we think that there's a terribly, terribly good argument for no, you can't actually force a criminal defendant to choose between going to trial or accepting a plea, which has a condition on it that you must attend political education. There's a first case for everything, and I haven't been able to find any case directly on point. And just the mere exposure of my clients to that risk, I think, is absolutely horrific, and it borders on something that a totalitarian government would do. You think of the Uyghurs in China, or think of the prisoners in the former Soviet Union and the gulags, where political thought is drubbed out of undesirables through state institutions which force re-education. And I think that making a criminal defendant choose, have them risk trial, or you get this better deal, but you got to go to this class, is really a scary proposition and quite Orwellian.
Yeah, Nick Powers with us. I would actually say it becomes totalitarian. It seems very much like a struggle session, which is something I'd like to see our country not go through. I wanted to tell you, just man to man, I don't back the Black Lives Matter Incorporated group, because I think that they are totalitarian. I clearly believe Black Lives Matter. It's a morally objective fact. So I wanted to tell you that as a Democrat, that you doing this, I think this is just this is when lawyering is great, that you've stepped to the table to do this. And I want to thank you for that. And I think that's an act of bravery. And you're a Democrat with a Black Lives Matter sign in your yard, and here you are defending these people. And I just want to thank you for that, Nick. That's really the best of lawyering.
Well, I think that is the best of lawyering, and it's the best of the United States and America. And, I think we should all go back to more normal times, and we should remember what made this country great. And part of that is we have a spectrum of political beliefs, each with their own validity.
Yeah. Nick Powers with us. Will you let us know what happens with your clients, and let us know if they decide to pursue this and to go to court, go to trial? I will take a real hard shot at trying to raise some money to help pay the fee if they need that. And I don't know if they do, but I just think this is a very important case.
Thanks very much. We appreciate that. And on behalf of my clients, they appreciate that as well. And, you know, we are off to court right now. So we'll let you know how it goes.
All right. Go with God's good grace. Thank you, Nick Power, attorney, in the way attorneys should be. Thank you very much for joining us on the Todd Herman Show.
Got a bunch of thoughts about this. If you want to read about the case, text Todd, T-U-D-D, to 800-465-8770. Tell you what I'm thinking. About 60 seconds, do a quick look at traffic. Particularly when you're doing stuff remotely. The very thought that a prosecutor, Randy Gaylord, who I understand is a very good friend of Sideshow Bob, the very thought that Randy Gaylord, the prosecutor in San Juan County, that Randy Gaylord, that prosecutor, elected prosecutor, thinks he has the power to effectively convict people of a thought crime just tells you how far gone Jay Inslee's Washington State is, how far gone from the law Sideshow Bob is. I mean, just try. It's again, maybe Bob will send me another angry email and tell me he's not a friend of Randy Gaylord. It's my understanding they're friends, close friends. Track this. You have a florist in the Tri-Cities, and that florist has for years sold flowers to a gay couple. Couple of dudes. Years. Happily sold flowers to them. Happily greeted them in her store. They sought her out to help celebrate their union. They go take advantage of the law that says they can get married. And she's described as saying it was horribly hard for me. These guys have been in my store forever. And I say, hey, you know what? I can't do that. I could sell you stuff from the store, but I couldn't custom make something. It's against my faith. Initially, those gentlemen said, okay, well, that sucks. That's really hurtful. And they posted about it on social media. And then the activists got involved. And then the lawsuit. And then Sideshow Bob came along to crush her. You will ignore your conscience and your faith, or I will crush you. Here you have a retired couple who are alleged to have made this bad decision. You don't, please don't go around vandalizing signs. If they did that. You have a prosecutor in Washington State not just saying you will ignore your conscience, you will install a new one. You will be taken to a re-education process and you will gain a new conscience, a new think. It's happening in the school levels, the same groups that are pushing the pornographic, perverse sex curricula into the classrooms, which is why we must reject R90 and elect Maya Espinosa. Those same groups are also producing videos to teach kids to hate cops. That's being done in the grade school, junior high, and high school level. We know it's taken over the college campuses. Now you have this prosecutor's office, Randy Gaylord in San Juan County. Randy Gaylord, an elected prosecutor. Randy Gaylord apparently thinks he has the power now to install goodthink in people's minds. And folks that smugrels who will look at this and say, well, I mean, they do need re-education. Do you understand or do you choose to ignore that Marxism has no limit on the appetite? There's never enough. There's never enough control. There's never enough people they can crush. There's something of yours they want. There's something in your conscience that will be bad thing. Now, everybody take a breath. Really legitimately, do this with me. I mean, unless you're driving, please don't close your eyes if you're driving. Close your eyes and imagine we go back in time. We go back in time, let's say 6 years ago. First time you hear the Todd Herman Show, and I come on and I say, you're going to be charged, forced by a prosecutor in Washington State to attend re-education, leftist indoctrination. You're going to be forced. If I, 6 years ago, opened the mic, first time you heard me and said, your kids in government schools will be taught in seventh grade that it's a good idea for them to get naked and bathe together in the government schools. Would you have listened to the show? This is where we're at. And it's not just on the West Coast. It's not just in Washington. Guard your school boards, your zoning commissions, your water boards. Give the left no ground on anything in government in your states, cities, or counties. Not an inch. Because this is how it metastasizes like a cancer. Randy Gaylord. We'll try to get Randy on to come on and talk about why he believes he has this power. Maybe I could re-educate him. Maybe he and I can have a re-education contest. We'll come back to the Todd Herman Show with your text messages at 800-465-8770. Let's check traffic.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
If you want to read the coverage of this from a friend, Glenn Morgan, that this thought crime charge in San Juan County, this is how I describe it, trying to force people to go through re-education, text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. Glenn was the gentleman who told me about this, so I want to make sure that people get a chance to read his coverage on it. We will have that segment as a standalone podcast, minus the technical problem at the beginning. And I would appreciate it if you would send this to everyone you know so they understand how bad it's getting out here, that a prosecutor thinks he can force people to go through leftist re-education. Phenomenal. On the topic of standing up to BLM, William at the text line, 800-465-8770. It can be said that people don't want to stand with BLM, but they also need not stand with Inslee in Washington, or et cetera. So what we say, here's the answer. When someone says, do Black Lives Matter? You say, of course. It's a morally objective fact, which is why I will not and cannot back the violent Marxist-led terrorist group called Black Lives Matter Incorporated. Black Lives Matter are far too important to be crushed by Marxist tyrants. AOP poster, a protester. Good morning, Todd. I'm curious if BLM has been prosecuted for any of the pro-police or pro-Trump signs that have been defaced or set on fire in the state. No, I mean, that's part of the point. I mean, Antifa and Black Lives Matter Incorporated domestic terrorists, they own Portland. They own Oregon. That's a different state. They own Olympia. They own Seattle. They're hardly ever, charges are hardly ever pursued. And in San Juan County, Randy Gaylord, the elected prosecutor there, has decided not only can he charge them for, as I understand it, a first criminal charge, offense they're alleged to have committed, he can force them to go through re-education. COVID, fat man in the bathtub. Hey, Todd, let's take a page from my counterculture past. We need to hold a good old-fashioned mask burning, you know, like the draft card and bra burning of days gone by. Still have my ancient draft card. Never had a need for a bra. Just a need to have a face diaper. Time to use the left's tactics against them. Great. Fat men in the bathtub. You organize it. You get in touch with me. I will help promote the heck out of it. I don't have a mask. I've never bought one for the COVID flu. I will never buy one for the COVID flu. I've never worn one. I will never wear one. But I will help you with that, you bet. And at that point, let's hand out this article that Scott Atlas, that Twitter censored. I've been thinking of creating, no, wait, if I mention it on the air, then I don't own it. Never mind. Soho guy. Hey, Todd, my wife works at a nursing home in Snohomish. Several months back, King blank blank banned cloth masks in nursing homes because they're ineffective against the COVID. Not to mention the PPE he keeps saying is being given to the nursing homes has never gotten to my wife's facility. Yeah. Well, okay, I think Friday I may read on the air the entire article Scott Atlas was banned, was blocked from Twitter for sharing with you. But there's also this, that now the nursing home owners are speaking out saying, hey, where's that money the federal government sent us? Jay?
I'm not the most transparent administration in history, and I'm pretty proud of that.
He says to his useless woke mask, Little Mickey. The annual rate of fatality of hepatitis A, which is an extremely infectious disease, viral, is anywhere from 0.6% up to 1.8%. It's considered more dangerous in people over the age of 40. We've just never shut down the economy, or required citizens to quarantine, to give up any freedoms to combat the disease. And that's just one example. Anyone can find in 5 seconds online. We're being led down a garden path by those in power. Thank you for doing your part to spread the news. Thank you. Oh, Little Mikey, not Mickey. Thank you, Little Mikey. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Mikey, to your point, so-called doctor Jeff Duchin, the so-called head of King County Health, allowed a hepatitis A outbreak to stew and fester in the Ballard Commons. Never did demand a quarantine, as I understand it, of those people, but for weeks. Safe Seattle reported it. It was there for weeks. What we do as individuals affects the community, and what we do as a community affects individuals. Stay home, stay safe, stay scared, stay hypnotized, and if it helps you stay inside and stay safe, stick a heroin needle in your arm or a fentanyl patch up your beak. I'm Dr. Jeff Duchin. Texting trucker. And this had to be how it happened in Germany. Pray people wake before it's too late. Yeah, and listen, I get where you're going on this. And the thing is, when people do that jump, then everybody stops listening. And I get where you're going. And look, the wall of lies, it's immense. And I join you in this fear that people are buying this. That's what freaks me out. That people could look at a neck gaiter they bought at the Walmart or the Dick's Sporting Goods and say, this is, man, should have thought of this. No one would ever get sick, ever, ever. Smugrels, reeducation camp, Shawdogger. The case concerning the San Juan couple being prosecuted for defacing BLM signs begs the question of who in the heck, individual or group, are leading the charge, carrying out the charter that's driving our nation in this direction. At one point and soon, this will go beyond a civil jurisprudence process and need to be met with overwhelming kinetic force. I hear what you're saying. Pray on our knees to the one and singular God Almighty that the spirit of truth fall upon these people who have been misled, and that if the God sees fit, he uses righteous anger to smite these efforts and the people driving them. Because November 4th should be of concern to everybody. Hockey dude, hey Todd, just a piece last night from King 5 programming. We have a nice phrase where the headline reads, Snohomish County ICU beds at 80% full. Health officials ask public to heed COVID precautions. This struck me as another a panic piece from King 5, given that hospitals are supposed to run at their full capacity, right? I remember when the national media was painting Texas and Florida as giant death machines, that you noted hospitals are intended to run at close to their full capacity. If this headline isn't an effort to promulgate fear among the people of Washington and keep us locked down, I don't know what is. That's exactly what it is. And yes, ICUs operate that way. That's why they've got backup and peering arrangements with other hospitals. And the important statistic is how long are people there? That's the important statistic. What are the check-ins and the check-outs? Car 54, where are you? Hello, Todd. The smuggles will one day wake up and wonder why the pot of water they're sitting is starting to get hot. Yes, they will. Lake Stevens lunatic, if the signs were left on a right-of-way, there's no permit issued to allow them to place the signs at the location. Didn't this couple just do a favor by cleaning up disposal garbage? Well, they didn't. They're not charged with cleaning them up. They're charged with defacing them. I just gotta feel terrible. And a whole bunch of other text messages. Sole proprietor, Robert 406, Darth, I'm reading them. I see you. Shouldn't have time to get to them all. I'm blessed to have the messages. Please do make a habit of texting in anytime during the show. 800-465-8770. If you're listening on podcast later, you can email me, therman@ktth.com, or all the social media channels. Come back, wrap up the day with a personal note. That's where we check traffic with Right Way Traffic.
Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, actually, an idea I wanted to talk about. I'm going to talk about tomorrow. And so, Alex, save that song. I'm going to talk about that song tomorrow. But Alex and I were just having a conversation on the break about this actor named Chris Pratt. Chris is actually from our area, that is the Seattle area, and grew up in this area. I think it's Mount Vernon, as I recall. He's in the Marvel movies. So the cancel culture is going at him because he didn't go to a Biden fundraiser. Legitimately, that's why they want him gone now. He chose not to attend a fundraiser for a politician that he doesn't back. A couple years ago, I think it was, and we'll probably do this on Friday, he shared the gospel at one of the TV award shows. Very risky move to share the gospel. He showed the best of himself in that he is a Christian living his faith, communicating his faith, not backing down. And interestingly, some of his co-stars are coming to his defense. Hollywood people. Coming to the defense of Chris Pratt. I don't know Chris Pratt, but I know kindness. Kindness is a potent weapon in the face of evil. Sometimes kindness will not save you. And sometimes it's the weapon that does. Remember, I was in New York City, which was a common thing for me. I visited there a lot, and I took occasion to have dinner with a friend of mine, dear, dear friend, I've been close with since seventh grade. I count as close a friend as I have. And she and I would get together sometimes for dinner. I'd text my wife, hey, I'm going to have dinner, and text my wife afterwards, and tried to make that a good thing because it was always a very honest friendship. She was late, and she was an executive, corporate executive, still is, big company. And so it was going to be really late. So she suggested a place for me to wait and, you know, have an appetizer or something. And I did. I went into this bar in Manhattan and sat down. I was alone. I mean, New York's a place where people, dinner doesn't really start until 9:30 or 10. Now it's a ghost town, Manhattan. Sat down, had a coffee, had an appetizer. And since we were alone, the owner came over and sat down next to me. He said, hey, where are you from? What brings you to town? And he knew my friend. I mentioned, oh, my friend lives just up the street. And I told him, I'm meeting her here. Oh, she's a sweet girl, such a sweet girl. Well, first of all, she's at that point a 42-year-old woman. He was a guy who came off like, I'm sorry, but sometimes people like sort of transmit to you that they're gay. And this was he was a gay man. And we figured that out pretty quickly. And we talked about the Rolling Stones. We talked about their early days. We talked about Brian. The Rolling Stone who died. We talked about Keith, and we talked about the early days of rock and roll. Then we talked about the business he was in, and then we talked about kids and his family. And I kept getting texts, and I think it was at that time email, actually, on the phone. I'm still late. I'm sorry. I'm wrapping up this meeting. No problem. I'm having a great time talking with the owner. He bought me dinner. Eventually, we just figured that, you know, she and I would just go for a walk and just visit. She got the corporate food delivered. And then we got onto the topic of parents. And this man had lost his parents when he was a young man. He had three restaurants in Manhattan. They were very successful. And I said to him, I just think your parents should be so deeply proud of you. And he said, not my dad. My dad never thought this was man's work, but he never knew. I said, never knew what? He goes, well, he never knew I'm a gay man. I said, that has to be really hard for you. He says, my mom, she loved it that I cooked. And I said, that has to be a great blessing. And at that point, in walked my friend. And he turned around and said her name. She walked up and he turned to me and said, can I give you a hug? And I gave him a huge hug. I said, thank you for spending time with me today. We're walking out. My friend has a tear in her eye, or tears, because she has a gay brother. And she knows my politics and my faith. And I didn't need to say anything. One of my dearest friends, I love you and I love your family, and I am quite capable of loving and disagreeing. And I loved the time I spent with that man. Kindness is a potent weapon. I certainly hope I get to chat with you tomorrow on this radio station. It is the Todd Herman Show, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays, podcasts everywhere. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.